On the afternoon of September 22, 1944, Gertrude Legendre strolled into the bar on the Rue Cambon side of the Hotel Ritz. Outside, the street was lined with U.S. Army jeeps, and inside, the place was already crowded, mostly with Americans, a mixture of military officers and war correspondents, their volubility rising amid whorls of cigarette smoke. White-jacketed barmen mixed cocktails behind a dark mahogany counter, and the hotel's patrons consumed the signature drinks in clusters around the small tables. Just 1 month after the city was liberated from the Nazis, this was the Paris a certain kind of American remembered, exclusive and jolly and alcohol-soaked. The 42-year-old Legendre, known all her life as Gertie, was perfectly at ease in the legendary watering hole, a magnet over many years for wealthy Americans and Hollywood stars, as well as assorted European aristocrats, diplomats, spies, oligarchs, and until recently, Nazi grandees. Field Marshal Hermann Göring had taken over the Imperial Suite after Paris fell to the Germans. Gertie knew the head barman, Frank Meyer, from previous visits to the Ritz, including a stopover in the winter of 1928, when she was 26 and on her way to a big game hunting expedition in East Africa. Meyer, inventor of such cocktails as the Bee's Knees, the Royal Highball, and the Sidecar, was still managing the room in 1944, his eyelids and jowls heavier, but with the same slicked, center-parted hair, groomed mustache, and pince-nez. He had worked in the bar during the occupation, but surreptitiously helped the resistance, ensuring that he kept his position after liberation. The two reminisced about Gertie's pre-war stays at the hotel, and she talked about the 1928-29 hunt in the highlands of Abyssinia. Meyer had told Gertie that when she reached Addis Ababa, she should drop in on his friend, the head chef to the Emperor Haile Selassie. She later dined with the Lion of Judah in his palace and ate a 14-course meal, alternating between European and African dishes, off dinner plates encrusted with gold coins. Gertie recalled that the local honey wine, called Tej, was especially potent. It went straight to my head like champagne. In 1944 Paris, Gertie was wearing the uniform of a first lieutenant in the Women's Army Corps, WAC, though as she was the first to acknowledge, she was no soldier and couldn't salute properly. She did, however, know how to dress. After arriving in the city, she had her khakis tailored by Madame Manon, her longtime dressmaker, who couldn't wait to fit my uniform properly, taking it in here and lifting a bit there. Her helmet, three sizes too big, stayed as is. "I must send you a picture of me in my khaki. You would be so amused," she wrote to her husband, Sidney, who was serving in Hawaii, a Navy lieutenant commander in the intelligence center of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. They had not seen each other for 2 years and expressed their love and the distress of being apart so long through their almost daily letters. "Do you ever cry because you miss me?" wrote Gertie. "I do so much. I wonder if time is rubbing off the edge and you are now accustomed to the separation. I find it an incurable heartache, and I don't suppose I would want it any other way."